This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to a special episode of The Kim Baker Show for October 23rd, episode 1026. How about that, Glenn?
That's good, You can say it that way.
This episode is brought to you by BioStar. Good morning, Horse World.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
That's right, it is the Kim Baker episode, the fourth Thursday of every month. And Kim, remind me never to give you large numbers again this early in the morning, because apparently that's an issue.
Sorry.
1026. If it goes over, we can't do four numbers. We have to limit it to three for Kim before she's had her second cup of coffee. Morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. We hope you're on your second cup of coffee, because you're going to need it to listen to this show. And it's good to have you back. We're going to talk about your favorite holiday later in the show and my least favorite.
Yeah, sorry. We'll make it fun.
I want to find out why it's your favorite, because I would never have guessed that, by the way. I would not have guessed that. So we'll find out why Halloween is Kim's favorite later in the show. And on today's show, by the way, Jennifer is here. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. However, cold is so bad that we have her on mute, and we don't want her. We don't even want to hear her. We don't want to hear anything, because it really sounds good. But she can still reach the sound files. So, she can express herself through the sound files today.
So that could be
we are. Yeah, exactly. It depends. She's got some good ones loaded up there today, too. We're going to do another reading today. We're going to do an animal reading. And this time, last month, we did Jamie's horse. And this month, we have our listener, Uta, stopping by. And she's been a listener since day one. And you're going to do a reading on her horse, Conga. And then J.J. Tate, who's a dressage person extraordinaire. She does a ton of clinics. Well-known in the dressage world, super nice woman. J.J. Tate tells us how she keeps her horses in top shape for competition at all levels. And as we talked about, Halloween is just around the corner. Do you plan to dress up your horse, ghoulish horses, dogs, and cats? Well, I can guarantee you I am not, but we're going to talk about people who do, and we're also going to get into a little bit of the safety aspect of that coming up later in the show. I did post this morning, though, I did post on Facebook my favorite horsey costume from last year. So if you have one, get on there and follow that thread and post pictures of your favorite horsey costumes from last year. Mine was a train that was it's bizarre what we do to our horses at Halloween. But it was a great cause. I mean, they spent a lot of time making it. It was a nonprofit organization. I'm trying to remember where they are, out of Minnesota or somewhere up there. And it was really, really cute. They made a train with all these horses. And what they did with it is they went around to old folks' homes and nursing homes. And everybody got to come out. And then they went to a kid's hospital. So they did some good things with it.
Oh, that's cute. That's really cute.
Isn't it cute?
Mm-hmm. That's really cute.
On a whole bunch of halflingers. They were all halflingers that they put it on. I'll get the name of the organization before the end of the show. But, yeah, so we'll get into that more as the show goes on. Fjords. I'm sorry, Jennifer. They weren't halflingers. They were fjords. You are correct. See, Jennifer's still correcting us. She's just doing it in the background. I can't get away from it. See, I'm married to her. It happens all the time, too. She sends me texts to correct me across the room. So there we go.
That's funny.
Well, what do you want to start with today?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, Kim was out. Let's just tell everybody. Kim is a little slow this morning. Not just because she hasn't had her second cup of coffee, but she was rocking the house last night. Where were you?
I was at the Pearl Jam concert at the Pepsi Center in Denver, and I didn't get to sleep until 1 o'clock this morning, and I got up at 6. So I'm running on 5 hours of sleep, and I normally need 8 to 9. So yeah, you guys are gonna have to bear with me.
Well, you could be funnier today. We're always the funniest when we get no sleep. So we'll see if that applies to you. Now, I got to ask you a question before we go on, now that you brought it up. So you were at a Pearl Jam concert in a state that now has legal marijuana. Was it just a cloud over the whole thing?
Well, you know what's funny is, Pearl Jam is out of Seattle. So Eddie Vedder was talking about that. He's like, oh, we're sister cities. And he definitely made a comment. And it wasn't just a giant cloud, but you can – I mean, the thing is you could always smell it anyway at concerts,
right,
but
right.
Now you tend to smell it just a little bit more. So it's pretty funny.
I went to a Billy Joel concert years ago, and it was inside. It was in a stadium. It was a basketball stadium, if I remember right, in Philadelphia. And we had the seats that were in the bleacher section. By the end of the concert, we couldn't see Billy Joel anymore.
Wow. Yeah, the Pepsi Center is our indoor stadium for the Avalanche and for the Denver Nuggets.
Ah, I see. So now we know why, Kim. You have to forgive her if she's a little slow on the uptake this morning.
Yes.
Not only is she not had her coffee, she's still stoned from last night. So
it's her second hand.
Uda's reading should be really good this morning.
Okay, Glenn. Well, let's
so chill.
we'll set the tone for the show today with a medicine card.
Okay.
We'll see what the animals have to say about all this, right?
Okay.
And you're
going to
tell me. So I'm just kind of going my hands over the cards. Tell me when. Just say when, and I'll pull a card.
When?
I grabbed the skunk.
After what we just talked about, that's perfect.
I know, isn't that funny? And I grabbed the skunk upside down. So skunk stands for reputation. So I'm going to read just a little bit of the right side up, and then I'll read what it means because it was upside down. Okay, let's see. If you have chosen the symbol, you are being asked to notice the kinds of people you are attracted to. If they emulate favorable characteristics, have enough self-esteem to recognize those characteristics within yourself. Walk tall and be proud of the accomplishments you have made. Bear in mind that what you believe about yourself is your ultimate protection. Protect self-respect. Now, since it's upside down, this is what it means. Skunk medicine operating through the contrary or reversed position indicates that your self-esteem may seem to others as if you are putting on airs. Observe whether or not you are repelling others in your vicinity because of envy, jealousy, or a projection of their low self-esteem. Examine your feelings. Be truthful with yourself. Write the situation by assuming the attitude of skunk, nonchalance. In assuming nonchalance, you are neutralizing the effect of leaking energy. In leaking vital energy, you may be stinking up your environment. This is similar to dumping all of your woes on anyone who will listen. If you are doing this, it may be time to shut your mouth and go within. You may also be leaking.
This is so appropriate, Kim, because look what I do for a living. And I'm sure there's people. I'm sure there's people every morning that say that about me. And yes, our job is pretty much to stink up the environment. We do it well.
You like this part, too. You may also be leaking sexual energy and repulsing the object of your interest. That person may be too shy to tell you to lay off. Look deeply at your self-image and how others are reacting to it. To balance causes and effects.
I need to stop flirting with Kim this morning, apparently. That's what that's saying.
to, ba- causes and effects of your action and energy flows. You must decide whether or not you need to spray in the direction of others to repel their increased jealousy or over Emerson disease. Please don't spray me, Glenn. On the other hand, you need to always maintain your right to be. Self-respect is the key to all of these situations, whereas ego is merely what you believe yourself to be, Skunk says. If your ego is not your amigo, you know it stinks.
I've gotten some emails that say that.
Oh,
God. You couldn't have picked a better card.
I know, right?
Especially for this morning. All right.
My face
hurts from laughing already. So let's, you're much funnier when you stay out late and get high at concerts. Do we have an inspirational message for today?
I'm sure we do. Let's see if I can find one. Oh, here we go. Okay, so this one is, I can read it. Attitude and success. It is our attitude at the beginning of a difficult task which, more than anything else, will affect its successful outcome, and that is by William James.
No, that's true. So true, yeah. And we've all seen we've all done that correctly, and we've all done that incorrectly over the years.
Exactly. If your attitude is skunky, then we know what your results are going to be, right?
And I would venture to say, if you're spraying everywhere, you're going to end up in jail. So that's going to be a problem.
Yes, exactly. Control your sprays, please.
Oh, God. All right. Let's get serious now. Adoptable horses.
So we have a beautiful yearling. Her name is Annie, and she is 1 year old, hence the yearling. She is very smart, willing to learn, and has a nice, calm demeanor. Annie's mom is a big girl. She stands at 15.2 hands, so Annie may also be pretty tall when she's older. She's had her feet trimmed. She's up to date on vaccinations and deworming. She is available at the Dumb Friends League Harmony Equine Center, which is located in Franktown, Colorado, just south of Denver, which is open to the public Friday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., except for major holidays. And she is a beautiful, colors. She's not a dark bay, but she's kind of more of the darker brown instead of like the reddish. And she's got a beautiful white blaze down her nose. And it looks like she's got two hind white legs and one, what is that, left front white leg as well. And you can see a photo of her on my Facebook page, which is The Kim Baker Show. And you can also check out all the other animals that they have for adoption. Learn more about the horses available at ddfl.org. And that is ddfl.org.
I'm just looking at the picture of Annie here. And Annie, when she fills out, I mean, she's skinny as a rail now, which is probably why she's ended up there. But, she's going to look really cute when she fills out.
Yeah, she is. And just so you know, the horses, how this works is the Dumb Friends League has been around for 109 years, 110 years. They've been around for a while. And the word dumb used to mean, it still means mute. So it means that an animal that can't speak. And they can speak, but not in, this is bad, in verbal, like we can, like you and I are talking right now, Glenn. But obviously we're going to speak with Conga here in a minute, so they can speak in other ways, is what I'm trying to say. So hence the Dumb Friends League. It doesn't mean that animals are dumb, it just means that they're mute. And with the horses, they are all law enforcement seizures. So it's not a shelter where you can just go drop your horse off. Now you can with the dogs and cats and some of the other animals, but not with the horses. They all come through law enforcement seizures. So most likely, she was, a case of being starved, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it looks, Sarah. And having gotten one that was starved before, after a year, he's fat and happy and causing all kinds of mischief. So, it doesn't take a whole lot for somebody that knows what they're doing to get them back to square one and to get them,
exactly.
get them going again.
Yep.
Well, that's very good. All right. Well, I'm going to, Kim, just sit back for a second. I need to talk to Uta before you talk to her, okay?
Okay.
So we're going to do our animal reading here, and we're doing this every month now. Jamie started it last month, and then Uta, our listener, is going to be on this month with her horse, Conga. Now, Uta, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, I just want to warn you, Kim's in a mood today, so whatever she says about your horse or whatever her horse is saying to her, keep in mind it's within no sleep-induced stupor that she's doing it, okay?
Okay.
Keep that in mind. It could be interesting is what I'm saying, all right? So let's keep that in mind.
In a good way, in a good way.
Hey, Uta, it's good to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, it's good to be on, too. I was really kind of nervous, but excited about it at the same time.
Well, I'm nervous every time I get on with Kim, so I get it.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. All right, I'll let you guys talk now. We've just been warned.
Oh, so Uta. Okay, Ms. Conga, she's a beautiful girl, and she had quite a bit to say. So Uta wanted to know, she's had Conga for about 8 weeks and noticed that she is acting a little differently at home now than when she was, when Uta was interacting with her at the facility she was at before. So she wanted to know what Uta could do to earn her trust more and then integrate her into her herd at home. So this is what Conga had to say. Conga says, place is a little weird. And Uta also mentioned that during when she's grooming her and stuff that she's starting to, like, nip and things. So I asked Conga about that, and that's typically a question I'll ask any animal, is are they in any pain? She's not really in pain, Uta, but the sensation that she shared with me is, you know, like when a body appendage falls asleep and then have those pins and needles when the blood flow starts to come back. So she has that. So, and I wrote it down as feels as if she has the creepy crawlies all over her, which is really odd for a horse to say that. So what I'm thinking happened with some of her surgeries and stuff is she has very minor nerve damage, but it is just kind of affecting her. So, like, when you're grooming her, that's why she's reacting the way she is. So, one, you can go a little softer in the grooming process. And two, this is not permanent damage. So what you can do is find somebody in your area that does acupuncture or acupressure. And acupressure is something that you could do yourself if you were interested in learning it.
Okay.
And that will help relieve all of that.
Okay.
The next thing, everything else as far as her body looks really good. Everything else is flowing. I checked, you know, to make sure that the meridian lines were open and stuff like that. One thing that she suggested was you run a fecal sample on her. Do you do fecal samples or do you just do an automatic worming program?
They're just on a worming program, but I have actually thought about doing a fecal test.
Okay, yeah, there's a great company called Horseman's Lab, and you can Google it, or I'm pretty sure their website is horsemanslab.com or Horseman's Laboratory, and
uh-huh.
The sample, you can buy them in bulk, which is a little bit cheaper, and then what's great is they send it to you automatically, so you don't even have to think about it, which I love, and then you get the samples, you send it in, and then they email you with the results. And so basically their rule of thumb is if it's 200 grams or less, you do not worm. If it's over 200 grams of egg, it's 200 grams egg per something or other, which is very helpful this morning, then you would worm. And then you would worm specifically for whatever they found. So if it was like Strongyles or if it was, you know, bot larvae or, you know, whatever, then you would find the chemical that works specifically for that. So I highly recommend. But just check her, because if she doesn't need it, then there's no reason to lower her immune system by giving her chemicals that she doesn't need.
Okay.
And then as far as bonding, so she was very specific about what she wanted. So she wants you to take her for hand walks and show her around her new home so that she becomes more familiar with, you know, the fencing and the layout of the land. Because she's, when I kind of asked her about it, she really didn't know. So she'd like to explore that with you. And then when I asked her about integrating with your herd, is it possible for you to put her in, like, a paddock that's side-by-side with where the other horses are, so there's just a fence between them?
Actually, that's what we're working on this weekend, getting that finished.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And so she'll be on one side, everybody else will be on the other. Then what she wants you to do is she wants you to bring one horse over to her side, excuse me, one by one, and the last horse is your bully horse. That way she can, like, work her way into your herd without him disrupting and just kind of taking charge. And basically what she's showing me is, like, he's running around, pinning his ears and, like, snaking and doing his bully thing. Like, she wants to be able to not have to deal with that. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, yes.
Okay. And then she had quite a bit to say. So she also said, don't give her high-octane food. So no alfalfa, reduce your grains, and more grass hay. That will kind of help her to relax a little bit. So some of the changes that you're seeing from where you interacted with her before to now is just the stress of moving and, like, learning about the new place and learning about her new herd mates and stuff like that. So some moving is stressful on animals, and it can
sure.
take them up to 3 months to just kind of chill out. So what you're seeing is how she is stressed. And
okay.
So it's actually good to know, because when she gets stressed again in a different situation, you'll know what to expect from her. You'll know how she's reacting. So this is not her true self, which you already knew that. You had seen her as more calm and more laid back. This is just kind of who she is being stressed out.
Okay.
Once you start to see her calming down a little bit more and things, and you start to ride her a little bit more, definitely make sure that you check that the saddle and all of the tack is fitting her properly.
Okay.
And her teeth look okay for now, but she definitely is going to need a dental exam in the spring.
Right, that's what it's scheduled. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And if you can, whoever you use, make sure they don't use power tools.
Okay.
So the reason for that, and well, actually, JJ, Kate, and I get into this a little bit in our interview later today as well. Teeth on a horse are so important because they basically are the structure for the rest of the body. So if the teeth aren't correct, then nothing else in the body is, and it won't hold. Like if you do chiropractic adjustments or things like that, it won't stay until the teeth are correct. And what we found in the research with the power tools is no matter how skilled you are at it, they cause more issues than they solve problems. And the surface of the tooth is not supposed to be flat. It's like a mountain that's supposed to be jagged. But the teeth are supposed to connect so that they have a grinding surface, just like ours, like our molars. Like if you feel your own molars, they're not flat, they're not smooth. And with the power tools, they tend to get what's called a wave in the line of the molars. And so some molars have contact and some molars do not. And that's what causes really big issues. So I just wanted you and everyone else to be aware of that. And so if you can find somebody that does hand floats, that's how we avoid getting the waves, because there's no way a person with their hand can physically overfloat the teeth. And it might
okay.
be a little bit of a challenge in your area, but it's just look for natural dentistry and see who's in your area. And it's starting to become more of a, not a trend, but more readily available. And then I asked her if there was anything else that she wanted to share with you. And she had some beautiful messages for you. So one, she said, I know I'm going to be really happy here in my new home. Give me some time to de-stress and unwind. We will be very good together.
Sorry.
Well, that's okay. So very beautiful messages for you.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm sorry
about
that.
No. Crying. Choking up, miscounting numbers, all acceptable this morning and any time. Crying is good. It's just energy in motion. So it is. It's very beautiful, heartfelt messages. Do you have any other questions for her?
I just wanted to really make sure that, you know, she was happy and comfortable in her new home, because I truly thought that she was meant to be, sorry, with me.
No, that's okay.
And I mean, I just truly love this mare. She this was really bad. I'm so sorry.
No, please, no apologies. And you're right. The feelings that you are getting, absolutely, you two are meant to be together. So she's right where she's supposed to be. Just like she said, just give her a little bit of time to adjust and. And,
yeah, I know I don't have a fancy horse barn or anything. It used to be an old cattle barn, so probably that's why she thinks that's weird, coming, you know, that she's from a racetrack racing background. And she was obviously in a very, very nice barn before she came to us. So I can understand why she thinks my barn is very weird. You know, I'm doing the best that I can for her. And, no, she doesn't get any alfalfa hay. She's getting basically just our ration balancer, because I try to keep the grain to an absolute minimum.
Great.
And, she is on a grass mixed kind of hay, and she definitely has a good appetite, that's for sure. I was just concerned because she started to act just a little bit different, and I think part of that may have been she was in heat just last week. But I just want to make sure that I do for her what I can, because she's doing so much for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll definitely look into, you know, getting an acupuncturist out there, or if you are interested in learning acupressure, there are classes all over, and the group that I recommend is Tallgrass Animal Acupressure. And they have a listing of practitioners across the U.S. So you could find someone. They have online classes. They have a book that you can purchase to do the points yourself. It's really easy. So their stuff is top quality.
Awesome.
And we had actually Nancy, one of the co-founders, on the show last month. So any other questions, Yuta?
No, I think this was really helpful, and I really appreciate your time, and I do apologize about falling apart.
please, like I said, no apologies. It's they're near and dear to our hearts, and how can we not express emotion with that, right?
I know, and this really meant a lot to me, especially being that she is new, and I swore I wasn't going to have another one after I lost mine 2 years ago. Getting the herd together is definitely going to be helpful. She's just been acting very, very scared of the other two, and I was trying to figure out the best way to eventually get them together. And, you know, with the one being such a bully, that's always been a real challenge for me.
Yeah. Well, I think, she has a great plan, and sounds like you were already picking up on those messages by doing what you're doing, getting the fencing and the paddocks put together so they can be side by side, and then the slow introduction. So
Great.
You're doing a great job.
Well, thank you so much, Kim and Glenn, for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're
thank
very,
you,
very Jeff. Welcome.
And thank you for all your support again for the show. We appreciate you bunches and everything that you do to help us out.
Absolutely. All right. I'm sorry if I brought the show down there a little bit. I really didn't mean to turn on the waterworks.
No, absolutely not. Thanks, Yuta.
Well, and if you want to have a reading for one of your horses, drop me a note on Facebook or on by email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get you connected with Kim. I do know that Chelsea contacted me last month, and let me see. Okay, she did confirm that she wanted to be on next month, but we do need to line people up, so drop your emails to me. So, Chelsea, you're in for next month, and I'll get you set up with Kim. And I know that she's having an issue. I follow Chelsea on Facebook, and she has an issue with one of her ponies that looks just like mine, her scooter doppelganger. She has a issue with. So we'll let her talk to you about that next month.
Doppelgangers.
Yeah, I think she looks just like mine, actually. My Hackney, she has a Hackney, too. And sometimes they aren't the easiest ponies in the world to break and to work with. And I think Chelsea ended up with the break. She ended up with the broken bone trying to do this. So,
Yeah.
That even happens with little ponies. As Jennifer will tell you, but she can't tell you right now. She's too sick. But my other pony broke her arm one day just bringing her in, and dog came up and scared the pony. Pony went into Jennifer. Jennifer went down and put her arm out. And guess what? You break your wrist every time doing that.
Yeah.
So I think more people do get hurt. I wonder what the statistics are. More people get hurt on the ground than they do while riding. I bet you it's at least 50-50.
I'd say it's probably 60-40.
Yeah, more on the ground?
More on the saddle.
More on the back? That's a good question. I'll have to see if there's an answer to that. Well, let's get to our Ask the Expert segment next. What do you have?
What do I have? That's a great question, Glenn.
What do you have? I know you have BioStar. You recorded it earlier. I do know that, too.
Jeez. We have Tigger, again, the formulator for BioStar, and she's just fabulous wealth of information. We are talking today about hindgut ulcers. And if you don't know what a hindgut ulcer is, you're going to learn what it is, and you're going to learn how to spot it. So that's what we have on the Ask the Expert segment today.
All right, let's get to Tigger from BioStar.
And here we are with another Ask the Expert segment with Tigger from BioStar US. Welcome, Tigger. How are you?
Hi, it's good to be here.
Great to have you back. So our question that was submitted for today is, my horse has a hind gut ulcer. Do you have any recommendations relating to treatment and eventual prevention?
Okay. So in the treatment area of a hind gut ulcer, that's really up to the veterinarian. There are several different medications that can be used very successfully to quiet down the ulcer. Where I come in is helping to direct the client in how to feed a horse with a hindgut ulcer.
Okay.
What you want to do first and foremost is you have to give the hindgut a rest. Now, this seems kind of strange considering that horses are hay and forage eaters.
Right.
And they need to eat a lot of it. And yet, if you want to give their hindgut a rest, what are they going to eat? So what we do is we give them a rest from hay. So maybe they get a flake in the morning and a flake at night. And what is substituted is either pasture or soaked hay cubes.
Okay.
And the reason we do this is so that their body's need for fiber is still being satisfied, but their hindgut isn't going to be irritated by the, stemmy, hard-to-digest hay.
Okay. So what exactly is a hindgut ulcer?
Well, it starts with acidosis of the hindgut. So that means that the microbial colony that lived in the hindgut suddenly becomes less. It's been either killed off because the pH has changed in the hindgut, or there are foreign pathogens in the hindgut. And a lot of times what causes this is horses that are on omeprazole for months and months and months and months and months. Long-term use of omeprazole can cause this. And actually, diets that are high, very rich with grains, because if the grains aren't fully digested in the small intestine, they'll pass into the hindgut. And that alone can start killing off the microbial colony and changing the pH.
Okay.
Stress is a huge factor because we know stress affects the microorganisms in the rest of the GI tract. So
right.
There are multiple reasons for hindgut ulcers.
Okay. Are they pretty common, or are they more, or is like the, you know, the front gut, for lack of a better scientific term, ulcers more common than the hindgut?
It used to be that we saw more gastric ulcers, but I would say now we see as many hindgut as we do gastric.
Okay. And what do you, are there certain types of horses? Are these like competition horses that we're seeing, or are we finding it in the backyard horses too?
I would say the predominance is in performance horses.
Okay.
But they are showing up in backyard horses, particularly if there isn't enough time spent foraging, at least 20 hours a day eating hay or grass. So if they're in a dirt lot or there's, you know, virtually no pasture and they get, you know, a couple of flakes a day, that is probably not enough hay for any horse. They need to eat 20 hours a day.
Right. Okay. What are the signs that a horse has a hindgut ulcer? So how would you know?
You know, that's the trickiest part, because sometimes it looks like a gastric ulcer, and sometimes horses will have gastric and hindgut. It can be, one of the first signs could be colic. It can be an attitude change. It can be a performance change where they just don't feel so good. They can get picky about their food. They can start having, diarrhea, or you start saying, wow, this something isn't right. They lose weight, frequent gas colic. That's the tricky thing about any ulcer, really, is that there isn't just, here are the five things to look for. It varies from horse to horse.
Okay. Well, and sometimes I'm guessing with this particular thing, right, like you might think it's something else, you know, like there's all these other, like you're saying, colic and or they just feel off. And so it's, you really have to play detective and probably rule out some other things before you determine that it is a hindgut, correct?
Well, and you have to get your vet involved because, you know, we can scope for a gastric ulcer, but we really can't scope for a hindgut ulcer. And the best technique to diagnose it to date is to ultrasound the right dorsal colon.
Okay.
But that isn't seeing the entire, you know, the hindgut is pretty big, so that's not seeing the whole picture, but at least the vet can see if there's thickening of the colon. And that's a sign that if there's not a full-blown ulcer, there's probably acidosis going on.
Okay.
And the ultrasound, you know, is non-invasive.
Right. So you were mentioning, you know, with the diet. So you start with the diet to support it. So walk us through. So you're mentioning, you know, giving it a rest and going, reducing the forage and adding the hay cube.
Well, reducing the hay. The horses can have as much pasture as they want. The pasture isn't the problem. The hay is
okay.
The problem.
Okay.
So we replace the hay with hay cube, so K-cube.
And I
get the horses off of grains because, again, if they're undigested in the small intestine, they'll pass into the hindgut and keep causing acidosis. So I give the horses a break from grain and do, you know, soaked molasses-free beet pulp and timothy and alfalfa pellets and chia and just more really forage and fiber-focused food. And if a horse needs to gain some weight, you know, then I'll go with a rice bran or a coconut meal for added fat and protein.
Okay. What about, so two questions here. What about alfalfa? And then two, what exactly, other than the texture, so you're saying like the issue is the stemminess of the hay is the
right.
problem, whereas like with the cubes, it's softer. And of course the pellets, you know, they just, as long as you soak them, please soak them, they just kind of go into mush.
Right. And actually, I mean, you don't have to soak the pellets. You certainly have to soak the cubes, but I like to use the pellets as kind of the meal, and I like to use the cubes as the replacement for the hay. So in barns, in training barns, in the initial diagnosis of hindgut ulcers, we will be giving soaked hay cubes maybe every 2 or 3 hours for a month.
Okay. Okay. And what supplements would you add to help with the treatment? Anything?
Yes, there are two things that I focus on. One is a probiotic that has hindgut support. And one of the most interesting hindgut supports is a mucooligosaccharide, which is a mouthful. It's known as MOS.
Okay, MOS.
MOS. And what it does is it regulates the pH of the hindgut. It is technically a prebiotic. It's what the microorganisms feed off of. But it helps to maintain the correct pH. So you want to look for a probiotic that has MOS. And the other component is hemp seed oil. Because hemp seed oil provides gamma-linoleic acid, GLA. And the body converts that to a prostaglandin, a very beneficial prostaglandin, which is PGE1. And PGE1 is the anti-inflammatory prostaglandin. Why this is important in the hindgut is it helps reduce the inflammation in the hindgut.
Right.
And one of the very common drugs used to treat hindgut ulcers is called misoprostol. Misoprostol is a synthetic prostaglandin.
Okay.
So as we start transitioning the horse off of misoprostol, we start adding hemp seed oil.
Okay. Great. Well, that was a lot of information. So definitely work. It was a lot of information. I didn't know any of it. So that was very informative and educational. So start with your vet, and then anybody, of course, can call you, Tigger, and you know, work specifically with the horses, and people can find you at biostarus.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Wonderful. Well, Tigger, thank you so much for your wealth of information. I'm sure this is very helpful to many people.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, that was a Tigger from BioStar, and Kim, you're going to introduce, I think, the next guest.
That's right. I am. Now, yes, I'm introducing Tate, I swear, this morning. My brain's half here, my brain's half sleeping. So Miss J.J. Tate, she is dressage woman extraordinaire. She has been in horses for the majority of her life. And she absolutely loves what she does. She's extremely passionate about it. Had a wonderful conversation with her. And just amazed at what she's doing in her world. She competes at all levels. She trains horses. She has students. And she goes from, you know, training area all the way up to Grand Prix dressage. And she is working to get herself on the U.S. Olympic team. And I hope that she makes it there. So we are rooting for her. So here is J.J. Tate. J.J. Tate, welcome to the Kim Baker Show, part of Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So most of us know who you are, but there might be some horse people out there that don't know who you are. So why don't you give us a quick little Reader's Digest version of who J.J. Tate is?
Okay. I am a professional dressage trainer, and I run my business Team Tate Dressage. I am in Chesapeake City, Maryland during the summer, and we are in Wellington, Florida during the winter. I have trained and competed over 20 horses at the FEI levels and also had, you know, nice success on younger horses at the lower levels. And I'm a big trainer of a lot of junior and young riders, and I have a lot of adult amateurs as clients. And I trained a few years in Europe with Jula Dalos in Budapest, Hungary, when I was just out of high school. I came back, I had a training and boarding business in Wisconsin for 7 years with Greta Powell and her husband Van and my mom Candy. We were there in Wisconsin, and now I moved to the East Coast and am working on creating a situation where I can represent the United States on a team someday.
That is so awesome. So are you like most horse people in that you just loved horses forever, or what really sparked your horse bug?
I love horses. I eat, sleep, and breathe horses, and I love them so much. I've really made it my life's passion to, you know, improve horses' lives by educating their riders, and I've trained for I think over 25 years with Charles DeCompe. He's been my major mentor, and I've trained the last couple of years, 7 years with Scott Hassler, and, you know, before that was Oded Shimoni, and I've really been blessed to have wonderful teachers and the ability to ride with great, great trainers. And, you know, I really want to bring that to the majority of the regular riders out there. And I just love horses. I read about them at night, and I watch videos about them, and I married a guy who likes horses too. You know, horses have been like, horses have sort of been in charge of my life. You know, I started riding when I was 7, and I also did competitive sports in high school and, you know, played basketball and, you know, really love to stay in shape and do fitness and yoga. But horses have always been just my life passion. Like, I just love them more than life. So I really love doing clinics and helping people understand their horses better. And I really continue my education, too, because I feel we never stop learning. So I love them so much. I just want to be in the barn all the time. And everyone's like, you're a workaholic, and you should have more balance. And I'm like, but this is what I love. Like, I love horses. So being in the barn brings me joy. So I never feel like I need to get away or, have more balance, because at the end of the day, the barn is my favorite place.
Right. That's where you were. Well, I think that's a true fact for most horse people. Even if they're
for
not
sure
riding, they just want to be in the barn. They just want to be around the horses and have the horse smell and stuff. And that's awesome. So you said that you want to help educate people about the horses. So what do you find is the biggest piece or the common theme, you know, in your work and helping others?
You know, I think it is the idea that it does take a village, and it isn't just one thing. I mean, I guess if I had to pick one thing, I would really support amateur riders and young riders to learn to listen to their horses better. And
mm-hmm.
by that, I mean, not only about we need to learn to communicate with them better, not only in the saddle, but also about, you know, why are they girthy? You know, when we talk about being successful and having happy athletes and horses that want to do the job for you, there's so many aspects that go into it, including, you know, health and turnout and saddle fitting and, you know, understanding how the body works together and, you know, finding the right kind of teacher to help you along your way through the discovery of all the things you need to learn. Like, we laugh in my barn, you know, oh, we've never had this, an eye ulcer. So this is our summer to learn about the eye ulcer. You know, and it's like, in 25 years, I've never
that was an eye-altar, and all of a sudden now you become an expert because, you know, you just have so many horses in your life, especially running a barn and having a lot of students, you eventually see everything, you know, and you just get so much experience about reading the horse right and making the right decision and finding the right vet and all those things. And I feel like horses are constantly in communication, even though they obviously can't speak English, but they're in constant communication, and I think it's important to have, you know, someone that can help translate the message. And so I feel, you know, even with my students, that they a lot of times are like, well, I don't know the right answer, and I'm not sure. And I'm like, it's okay to ask questions, you know, ask your trainer, you know, and if it doesn't seem right, it probably isn't right. And I love, you know, liberating the adult amateur to be able to be courageous and brave and speak up for the horse, because I do feel a serious responsibility in my life to be the custodian of the horse's well-being. And so many times,
right,
I'm their voice, you know, and so sometimes that's not good news, you know. I mean, sometimes, like, you know, I think the saddle's not right, or I think his back's sore, you know, his coat is not healthy. I think we need to look at your diet, like, what do you feed him, you know. Just the whole program is really what makes the circle go round. And I feel like when one of those things, you know, it isn't, and I tell my young apprentice riders who want to grow up and be trainers, I said, it's not just riding well. This comes, there's so many things that come in the sport, you know, dealing with people and, you know, paperwork and balancing a checkbook, you know, all those things too. But it's so much about, there's so many aspects of it. And I think for me, to help people understand their horses and learn to communicate, of course, dressage is my utmost passion, and I love riding, and that's why I do everything that I do, is because I love to be on the back of a horse. But it's really fun for me also to watch my students find that moment of harmony that just moves them on a kind of a spiritual level. So being able to help them communicate that and problem solve when they run into trouble, I find that really rewarding. To, you know, a lot of my clients come to Florida and then they go home to Illinois or over to Texas, or, you know, so then I support them during the year with clinics. And so it's important for me and my team that we really teach them how to problem solve and help understand the horse as a whole.
Right. I think you make some excellent, excellent points. And to be able to compete at the levels that you're competing at and, you know, bring home the ribbons and the trophies and all that stuff. You, the horse, like, everything is all interconnected, and it all has to be working together, right? Because the horse can't be able to perform at the level that you want if all the other ingredients aren't right. So it's just more than the training, like you were mentioning. I mean, saddle fit is huge, huge, and I think people are really starting to become more aware of that. But I think the other piece that is still not quite at some people's awareness levels are the diet as well as the body.
Yes.
So the body form. So we're talking about the teeth, you know, how are the teeth doing? Are they, you know, is there a wave in the mouth? Are there hooks or sharp points or what? Because the teeth, I have found, I don't know about you, but the teeth impact everything else in the body. So if the teeth are not correct, then nothing else is going to work. Your chiropractic's not going to hold. Your other, you know, body work isn't going to hold, and it's going to just throw everything else off. So you found that too?
I agree 100%. I mean, it is like, I find myself, I mean, I'm a professional dressage trainer, so clearly I'm going to teach people how to get the horse on the bit and how to sit the trot and how to make swine change and, like, all those things, and I read and all that. And then, like, for me, it's like, through experience of my life and making many, many, many mistakes, and I'm apologizing to all the horses out there that I've had, that I was like, oh, this was fine, you know, saddle fit. And I actually just had a situation in my barn the other day that I know the horse has back problems. I know she's had a history of pitching swines. And many, many years ago, gosh, maybe now 12 years ago, I remember feeling on a horse, and I'm like, he feels really bad in his back. I picked up the canter, and he proceeded to launch me through the air, and I fell off, and it was like, knocked the wind out of me. Like, it was like, oh my God, I will never forget that feeling of that negativity in that horse's body. He was telling me, my back hurts,
right,
the saddle's not fitting, I'm not okay. And I didn't hear it, then because I needed to fall in the dirt and get it kind of obvious. And just last week, I was like, I recognize this weird thing in the back here, and I need to switch saddles or get the vet out or, you know, something to put the magnetic blanket on her or whatever, but I need to help her through this because there was a change in behavior for her, and it was an experience thing that I had recognized of like, this is all of a sudden like negative, and she's not happy. And so it's just all those moments of experience that add up. I mean, I feel like I should like write a book about not dressage and exercises in dressage, although that's helpful too, but about like performance maintenance. Like, what should you really feed the horse? And what should you really, how many times a year should you do the teeth? And what should you ask your vet and your dentist and your chiro? Like, what questions do you need to ask so that the right thing is addressed? And, you know, I remember my mom had, she survived, and she's like a 10-year survivor of breast cancer. But during the time, she had to become a real advocate for her own health. And I will never forget that even something as serious as cancer, my mom had to like really be in charge of her own success, you know, that she needed to ask the doctor the right questions. And I try and tell my students and the people around me, owners and whatever, that it's like, you're, again, the advocate of this horse's life, well-being, happiness, whatever. He can't tell
absolutely.
Us, like, you know, I'm not feeling good here. Like, he's telling us, but sometimes we don't understand the messages. And so it's important to, like, pose the right kind of question. And it's not in the challenging way to the professionals in your life. It's just you simply want to know. Like, I don't think you can ever get into a wrong way if it's just because you want to know. Like, I'm always laughing about, like, inquirer. Like, inquiring minds want to know. Like, it's not wrong to ask questions. And, you know, when the vet comes, we have someone taking notes because it's important for even my apprentice rider to, like, you're going to call the vet around today and you're in charge of taking the notes. Pretty much any important thing he says, I want you to write down. Even if sometimes in a conversation about another horse, it's important information, you know, and that helps us then, let's say, hind gut ulcers. Oh, when the horse is a little bit weird about girthing, obviously, but also if he's a little weird and aggressive or upset or something with the right leg, that, for us, is a sign that, like, oh, I wonder if it's hind gut ulcers. Like, oh, I've been treating him for the front gut ulcers, but you know, that changes the whole pH in the body, and then you're almost causing the problems in the hind gut. And so, like, all these, you know, new ways of figuring out, you know, what the horse is telling us by his actions, you know, I think you just can't tell people enough about that kind of stuff. And for sure, teeth, oh, my gosh. You know, it's like, I had one client, she said, well, my vet doesn't think he needs his teeth done until he's chewing sideways and the grain's falling out. And I was like, what? Oh, my God. Like, no, we call this performance quotes. Like, no, he's not going to, like, you know, the once a year, you know, like, oh, he's chewing and all the food falls out of his mouth. Oh, I guess I better do his teeth. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, and it's like, well, and you're going to put a double bridle on this poor horse and think that you're going to, he's going to want to do anything if he focuses, like, it's not feeling right. And, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, a total advocate of listening to the horse and all those things. And, man, oh, man, saddle fits a whole nother. God, I could talk about an hour about that.
yes, I can.
Exactly.
So what do you find is the most – so – Do you find that your clients resist sometimes when you're telling them stuff, or does most everybody just take your word for it? Which goes along with some level, right? They trust you, and then they see, you know that your care and stuff is. But there's got to be, I mean, everybody's got those clients, right? But they're just not ready to hear it, or they're just not in the space right now, or something else is going on. So how do you work with those clients?
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think so much of it, I mean, it's great now because I have a good reputation, you know, we're successful in the show ring, and not just me, but my students do well. And so that really helps kind of put the money where the mouth is and not just be like,
right.
Oh, I said that this is the best. I mean, they kind of see the results. And I'm really, really open about, you know, hey, I had this trouble with this horse, or I wasn't riding it well in this way, and I changed my approach, and I changed it, you know, and then the horse got better. Or we were trying this feed, or we had great success with this supplement, and, like, we do a lot of, we take a lot of photos in our barn. Like, whenever a horse arrives, we're like, take a photo, because the muscles change, the body changes.
Oh, yeah.
We just start to look healthier, and, like, those things, like, that's proof, you know, and I hate to have it in a way that you need, like, visual proof, but so many times people don't know what they don't know, and I certainly was in that position, because everyone is there at some point, you know, that you you don't know that there's a better way, and you think, like, yeah, this saddle fits on everyone, no problem, and I'm like, I'll do the teeth once a year, and, you know, it's okay, my farrier comes every 8 weeks, you know, and it's like, okay, no, those are not okay. You know, if you want a certain, you know, and I'm really clear with my clients about what are your goals, and if these are your goals, we need to then adjust, you know, we need to control all the controllables to create the success, and it may happen, and it still may not happen, but if we prepare the best way, which includes, you know, anything, that's a good farrier, a good saddle fit, the right diet, the right sort of supplements, if the horse needs, you know, specialized bits, you know, like whatever, a fitness program that includes, you know, 2 weeks, 2 days a week out in the field in the grass, because that helps them emotionally, you know, like whatever that is.
Right.
I'm really open with my clients, and I think that really helps, that I don't try and hide anything. And I said, oh, you know, we've tried this bit, and I really felt that this horse reminded me of that horse, that helped a lot. It's worth a try, you know. And so you, over time, create this trust, and then they sort of start to hear and see your way a little bit more. And a lot of times I can also say, hey, try it. You know, here, take it for a week. Take this saddle for a week, or try this supplement for you know, 3 weeks, you know, and see if there's a difference, you know. And then they can see the difference for themselves, and that speaks so loudly for a lot of situations like that.
Absolutely, and I think you had mentioned this earlier too, you know, and I think we've all been there, and it ties right into what you said, you know, you don't know what you don't know, and we all have to start somewhere, right? And we learn through the mistakes. I mean, I think even if you're not, you know, an official professional trainer, you make mistakes with your horses, but that's how you learn, you know,
absolutely.
And that's just part of the process, and I think, you know, you'll agree with me. Yeah, I think you'll agree with me. I mean, that's what I love about horses. It's like the more you know, the more you realize you still have more to know. And it's like a life journey with them. And each horse teaches you something new and different. And so my next question is, you know, I'm assuming that you find that it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? It's an individual program for the individual horse and rider, right? Even if you're all doing dressage and you've got five clients and their goal is, you know, to get to Grand Prix, it's the process or the program, you know, the goal is the same, right, to get to Grand Prix.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Your program for each five of those students is different, correct?
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting. We just were talking about this the other day because, you know, I'm a professional dressage trainer. I pride myself on being very classical, which, in definition, works for most horses most of the time and not all horses all the time. And that's why we have to be open-minded to say, okay, this horse maybe needs to be long line, which is still classical, you know, and I'm lucky that my husband, Richard, does that, which is a great help to the program. But I was actually laughing with some students the other day because you have to know the system and understand the system and know how to apply it at the right moment. And, you know, some horses we have absolutely ground poles. Like, I have ground poles set up in my ring all the time. Like, I love trot poles. And there are other horses where they love to be outside. They need the inspiration to be in the grass. And we have a beautiful riding area over by the pond, which is just, I work on sign changes out there, and you know, sometimes we laugh about, like, if they could keep the grass a little bit longer, it's really great to work on, like, big trot, you know, like a little bit more powered up, expressive trot. You know, but I find each horse, you know, kind of needs a little bit different thing. And then it's what's, I think, really challenging is to, you know, protect the horse's spirit and what the horse needs and then what the student needs. Because the student, geez, if I could let them do test movements every single day to learn the test movements, you know, that would be great. But we almost never do that. You know, I mean, for me, I want them to learn how to get a horse through, you know, how to problem solve. Oh, he's becoming stiff on the left rein. Where is that? Why? Why is that happening? And how can I fix that? I mean, that's
right.
What is the problem? You know, why is it happening? How do I fix it? You know, when is the right timing to do it? You know, I really love to kind of dig into those issues with my students. But that's sometimes hard because sometimes they need to repeat something more often because sort of teaching is repeating. And, you know, I always tell my students, too, like, when you're in the tack, you are the trainer. It doesn't matter if you're a professional trainer or not. You know, he who rides the horse is the trainer. And you got to make
exactly.
sure that you're training what you want and not what you don't want. And so, you know, that mental discipline to really focus on what you're actually telling the horse and teaching it, you know, that's also a really big part of it. And that's, I always find that's a big mix, especially during show season when, you know, the horses are running through test movements and the students, like, want to just practice the test again. And it's like, yeah, but we've got to, like, stretch his back out again. And he's got to, why don't you ride him out in the field today? And they're like, well, but I want my lesson. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't want a lesson today. He doesn't need a lesson. You know, we got to, you know, make sure we prevent some vet bills here and you can go
right
around the field in 2 points today, you know. And sometimes they don't want to hear that. But, you know, we're lucky up north. At this farm in Chesapeake City in Maryland, it's just beautiful. We've got a lot of spaces to ride out. But in Florida, we really lucked out last year because in our adjoining property, there's a big polo field, and they've allowed us to ride on that. So that is just like spruced up our whole training program to just be able to go out there and work the dressage, like not in the arena. Like that's one of my favorite things to do, you know, because the horse is just love it, and they're working their bodies, and that's what they're supposed to do, gymnastically build themselves up to become
right.
beautiful and strong. And you don't need to be in the arena on the sand, you know, to be doing that. So
right.
that's, the program absolutely has to change and be interesting and stimulating to the horse.
Absolutely, and I love your philosophy. It's great because I love cross training, you know, the trail horses, they
yeah.
need arena time. Arena horses need trail time, you know, and there's so much that you can do and keep them stimulating. And I think that was a crucial point that you added to that. Not only do we have to be stewards for the horse, for their body, especially at these, regardless of what your discipline is, you know, if you're not dressage and you are a trail rider, you still got to take care of your horse's body. And or whatever, you know, if you're a reiner or a barrel racer or a hunter jumper, it doesn't matter. You got to take care of your horse's body. But the other piece is the spirit. And I'm glad that you mentioned that. And I think that's fabulous. But we also have to, you know, make sure that we're not, you know, putting them in a box that they don't want to be put in. So I think
yeah.
I love your philosophy and your training. And then that's wonderful. So, JJ, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Really appreciate it. And where can people find you to learn more about you?
They can friend me on Facebook. They can like my page, Team Kate Dressage, or friend me under Jessica Jo Kate. And then our website is team-katedressage.com.
That was You Inspire Me by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music by going to iTunes and searching for Stephanie Quayle. And, of course, Stephanie is the one you'll be hearing at Road to the Horse next year. Well, Kim, that was an interesting conversation you had with J.J. Tate. I've heard her. She's been on the Dressage Show before. And one of the things I absolutely love about her is her unbridled enthusiasm. She sounds like she's a teenage girl, you know, that's so excited to be in the horse business and not like she's been in it forever, you know?
Right. I know. That's what she's a breath of fresh air and, you know, inspirational. I think she's in her 20s. Would be my guess.
It might I'm not sure. Late 20s maybe? Early 30s? Somewhere in that range.
She just had a lot of energy and a lot of passion. You could really feel it and hear it coming through, and we need that.
Yeah, and she is one of the up and coming rising stars here in the dressage world, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more of her as time goes on, and she gets that horse, you know, that special horse that shows up and becomes the master that she needs to really take her to the team and to the top. So that'll happen for her for sure.
I agree.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Halloween, because that is coming up next week, believe it or not. And this is like, I looked at your picture on Facebook, and it looks like Halloween is a favorite of yours.
Yes, Halloween is a favorite of mine. It's that picture, my profile picture, is from the Denver Zombie Crawl, which happened last weekend. And this is hysterical. I guess this has been going on for 4 or 5 years, and it's an all-day event, like, and I wasn't down there all day because I had riding lessons to teach and other things to do, but we went down for the crawl, and they started at 9 o'clock in the morning getting their costumes going, and then they had something at noon. I don't remember what it was. And then at 3:55, they played Thriller, and then the crawl's from 4 to 5. So you go up one side of 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver is a pedestrian mall. So you walk up one side, and then you walk down the other. And I have never seen so many people on 16th Street Mall as I did that day, and the costumes were so creative, and this is why I love Halloween, is you can be whoever you want to be. So this is your opportunity to be creative, to get out of your box and have fun, and, you know, if you're a shy person, to, you know, maybe be a little more bold, or if you're normally just out in the limelight, you know, you can stay in the limelight, or you can, you know, do something, you can hide if you want to, and we were talking about this last night, because the people that I went to the concert with, I also did the zombie crawl with, and there was a gentleman, and we think it's like the Elvis impersonators, you know, that's what they do, that's their job, but there was a person there that was, I kid you not, a dead ringer for Michael Jackson. The makeup, the nose, and we were thinking that maybe this person had cosmetic surgery to look like Michael. You can see photos on, you can also see them on the Kim Baker Media, because I'm also a photographer. So I have all the zombie crawl photos up there. Jack from The Nightmare Before Halloween. So Jack, Sally, and Spot, the dog, were there. There was a group of people that dressed up like The Shining, which is hysterical.
So it was a guy on a big wheel, and then these two girls that were the twins, and then a guy that was, you know, played Jack, and then the mom and stuff. So it was just really funny. And I think it's just time to let things go and have fun. And people were really creative with the horse costumes too. You know, like you were, like you had posted with the horses, with the fjords that were a train. And I've seen, you know, people that have their horse dressed up as a tractor and other really interesting and creative costumes.
You know, that train picture that I just posted this morning in Horses in the Morning's already had 18,000 views. And that one went around last year. It's amazing, you know, it's amazing the power of Facebook. And I did find out the name. I wanted to give them credit. It's Rainbows Incorporated is the people who did that train. And they, if you want to actually hear from them, we talked to them on the Stable Scoop Radio Show, episode 273. And that's where they told us all about how they came up with that costume and how long it took them to make it and everything. But there's a ton. It seems like horsey costumes are becoming a thing. And, boy, you got to have a horse that's well broke for some of these costumes, like the train.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Jen sent me a list that five reasons you should dress up your horse for Halloween. So number one is the training opportunity. A great way to teach a horse to tolerate tools, sparkles, and such without losing any horse credibility. So, absolutely. I mean, before you put your horse in any costume, the horse needs to be comfortable. You got to make sure that it's not too tight, that it's not restrictive, that your horse isn't going to freak out, you're going to have this, like, terrible wreck. So, yeah, you got to have some thought into that. The other piece is, you know, being green and upcycling. It's super popular right now, Jen says. And you've always wanted to be one of the popular girls, huh, Glenn?
Yes.
make a costume out of baler twine, cardboard toilet paper cores, and empty feed bags, and you'll be trending on Pinterest for weeks. Speaking of, that's just it. You and your horse could go viral, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, whatever. You can dress your horse. Oh, I know I did not take a nap during the song. You can dress your horse up in that awesome superhero or princess costume you never got as a kid. See, this is it. If you had something or you've always wanted to be something, Halloween is your opportunity to do it. And your horse doesn't care if other kids on the block are wearing superheroes and you dress him up as an elephant. That was a good one, Jen. I like that.
That's funny.
And she has some horse breeds with built-in costume ideas. So quarter horse, shave George Washington into his winter coat, and you're set. I don't get it.
I don't either. I don't either. I don't get that one. We'll have to get Jen for credit for. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Belgian, dressing up as a breakfast treat is a given. The Carolina Marsh tacky inside out duct tape distributed evenly throughout comes to mind. The Canadian horse, Dudley Do Right, here we come. The Chilean horse, he's a pepper too. That one's cute. And Colorado Ranger. I'm in Colorado. What the heck is a Colorado Ranger horse? You and your horse in matchy-matchy cowboy hats and chaps.
Well, you know, Jennifer says, by the way, the quarter horse with George Washington, it's because George is on the quarter. That's a stretch. That one, that's stretching there, Jennifer. That's stretching. There are some great. I have a Mashable. Hopefully Jennifer likes it.
Oh, you got buzzed.
Obviously, you know, Mashable and Horse Nation have been posting pictures. This is becoming a thing, dressing your horses up. It definitely is becoming a thing. And next week, we are going to see a ton of pictures flood out there. It is definitely a thing.
It is a thing. If you look at Freestyle Reigning, a lot of them dress up in costume as well.
Yes. Yep, that is true. I wonder if, because I owned an acting company for 10 years and we did like 450 shows where I got in costume for all of them, if that's where I just got the thing where, okay, I don't need to wear a costume anymore.
Mm,
yeah, I wonder if that's where that came from. Hey, there's something else too that just Brittany McDowell just posted, one of our listeners, on our Facebook page, and I need to ask your opinion before we head out. This is going to throw you for a loop. In Copenhagen, the Supreme Court of Denmark was forced to recognize the right of a 20-year-old animal rights activist to marry her own horse, creating a legal precedent and opening the path to human-animal marriage across the country.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently.
I don't think it's a farce. Let me see. We need to look this up and make sure it's not a spoof or a joke. Because,
so read that again. They just posted it.
Yeah, let me see. The article was on World News Daily. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's interesting. So,
but you know that's coming, right? I mean, it is coming. We can see that coming before, people wanting to marry their animals.
But and maybe, I don't know. I think that lends to a whole bunch of, like, a rat hole that we really don't want to go down. Why? I mean, we all love our animals, but that doesn't mean I want to marry my animal. Why would I want to marry my animal? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. I'm with you on that. Also, I think it just kind of, you know, it degrades what, you know, you're talking about the gay rights thing and all of that, and I don't want to get into politics, but, you know, it degrades what they're trying to accomplish, you know?
I agree,
so,
yeah.
You know, it just, it's degrading for humans. It's what I think. I think it's, and you can love your animal without marrying them. I mean, you can love your animal without marrying them, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. My cat says it's degrading to the animals.
Well, that's funny. All right, you're required now, from now on, to go to a concert before every show. I'm requiring you to stay out till 1 in the morning at a concert indoors in Denver.
Did you think I was dull before, Clinton? Is that what
you're much
saying?
Funnier, though, when you get no sleep. I told you before the show. Remember, you said, I didn't get any sleep. I got 5 hours of sleep. And I was like, well, you know, our funniest shows are when Jamie and I have gotten no sleep. Jamie's really funny when she gets no sleep. But I think we all get funnier when we get no sleep toward Friday. That's why Fridays are always the best shows.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, tomorrow is Friday, and we need ads for really bad ads. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. Copy and paste the entire, usually Craigslist ad, into the email. If you just send a link, then it's usually gone by the time she gets to it. And she can't even tell us what the prizes are. I have no idea. There'll be some great prizes. So, yes, really bad ads had a week off last week, but we'll be back this week. And Kim will be here next month. Now, the next 2 months, Kim, unfortunately, with our scheduling, is usually the fourth Thursday of every month. But the fourth Thursday of the next 2 months are holidays. We got Thanksgiving and then Christmas. So we are going to alter the schedule a little. We'll be announcing it during the month and posting it on Facebook. Do you have it right there in front of you, which are going to be your days? Because I do not.
I thought we were going to do Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then we hadn't talked about Christmas yet.
I believe that's right. I believe the Wednesday before Thanksgiving will be the Kim Baker episode. And then
we can't do December because that'll be Christmas Eve.
Yes, I think we were going to do it the day after Christmas. I think that's when we were going to put it up, was the day after Christmas. Yeah, the Friday after Christmas is when I think we were going to put it up. We'll have to record those ahead of time because neither one of us wants to record them on that day. So we'll be recording ahead of time. The most important thing to know is they will be here. And most of the people listen through their feeds or on the app anyway, so it doesn't matter. It just shows up and they listen. But we will not miss Kim for the next couple of months. And if you do want to get a reading done for your animal, just drop me a note on Facebook, Glenn the Geek, or send me an email at glenn2ends@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get you in the lineup to do that. Chelsea, you're up next month. Well, that's
awesome.
It for this month. Thank you so much, Kim, for getting up early on the day after your concert. Was the concert any good? I didn't even ask you that.
The concert was great.
Was it?
Eddie Vedder is hysterical. I think,
Well, we were trying to debate if he actually drank four entire bottles of wine during the concert. They played for 3 hours, and it was hysterical. He's funny. The music was awesome. I had ringing in my ears. I'm surprised I could even hear this morning. We were laughing about that last night on the way home. It's like, oh, how am I going to hear Glenn on the show?
That does happen.
But luckily, with 5 hours of sleep, my hearing came back enough that I could hear you. So, the concert was great. And it had been, we were talking about that, we had seen, my friend Sarah and I, we'd seen Pearl Jam at the Paramount Theater, downtown Denver, 22 years ago. So it's been a while. They've been around a long time, which is awesome to see a band still together. And they played great. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, before we go here, too, I do want to, give the best to our friends. We have a lot of listeners in Canada. They had a terrorist attack yesterday. And,
oh, no.
And it was, there were one or two killed. So guy went in and shot up their parliament building. So, fortunately for fast-acting off-duty sergeant-at-arms there at the parliament, shot and killed the guy. We did want to give our best. They've had two terrorist attacks in 2 weeks now, and we have a lot of listeners up there, and want you to know that we're thinking about you and hoping that that's the end of it in Canada.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I agree
for
there.
Today, well, Kim. Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh,
I have a couple other things I wanted to mention. So with Halloween, stay safe with yourself and your pets. Make sure you keep the candy out of reach. Make sure you keep your black cats hidden. Make sure your dog doesn't run out the door when you're answering for trick-or-treaters. And be smart and safe about dressing up your horse. Make sure your horse is prepared and you're not restricting them so that you can cause any problems. And I'd like to thank our show sponsors, which are BioStar, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs, keeping natural horsemanship, building quality partnerships, and lasting relationships from the ground up. Kim Baker, Animal Communicator, Animals Talk. Kim listens. What does your animal have to say? Like us on Facebook at The Kim Baker Show. Follow us on Twitter, Kim Baker Show. Our horse wisdom message for this month is be still and the answers will come. Our closing prayer is may there be peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day.